So today, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the whole theme of the future. And I'd like to just begin with a question, and that is, does anybody here know exactly what the future holds? If you do, let me know, because tomorrow I'd like to buy some lottery tickets with you. I think all of us would agree that nobody knows the future. The future is veiled from our eyes. It's hidden. Nobody knows for certain what exactly will happen or when it will happen or how it will happen. And last weekend, I shared with you on Sunday how in high school that sort of happened to me. When I was in high school, I played on the basketball volleyball team. I mean, the high school basketball team and the high school volleyball team. I dabbled a little bit in karate and jiu-jitsu. I loved all sports. I had a job after high school. And if somebody asked me what was I planning to do for the future, what would my future hold, I would just say, well, I'm going to go to university, get a degree, have a career, get married, have kids, have a dog. You know, just live a regular life. The idea that I might become a priest, it never even entered my mind once. I mean, how could it? Because in high school, I wasn't praying, I wasn't going to church, and I didn't even know exactly what I believed about God. And here I am, now just a few months away from being a priest for 30 years. And I'm very happy as a priest, and I couldn't imagine doing anything different. And even now, just a couple weeks ago, I remember every once in a while, I just shake my head and I kind of ask myself, me, a priest? Like, how did that happen? You know, it just seems so unlikely, so unexpected. So the future really is hidden from our eyes. Nobody knows for certain what the future holds. For example, there's a chance that maybe in 2020, the Raptors might win the NBA championships again. In 2020, well, we're not sure. Will Donald Trump be impeached, or will he win another term in office?
And who's going to win the best picture in the 2020 in the Academy Awards? You and I might be able to make some educated guesses, but we don't know for certain. Now, what if I was to ask you, though, who's going to win the NBA championship in 2620? Or who's going to win the be president of the United States in 2620? Or which picture is going to win the best picture in the Academy Awards in 2620? Well, I'm sure you would say to me, well, Father, that's impossible. That's 600 years in the future. There may not even be an NBA championship at that time. Motion picture movies might be completely obsolete. There may be a new technology that nobody's ever dreamed about, and pictures are just obsolete. They're not even in existence anymore. And who knows in 600 years whether the United States will even be around, let alone who's going to be president. So to predict events hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in the future, that's impossible. But what if I was to tell you that did happen once in the history of the human race, and it was accurate? There was somebody who looked into the future 600 years into the future, predicted a very specific event, and it actually took place. And I'm speaking to you about the prophet Daniel. The prophet Daniel from the Old Testament, he lived about 600 years before the time of Christ. And when he was alive, the Babylonian Empire was the world power at the time. And that was what we call today Iran, Iraq, and part of Turkey. And they had invaded Israel and completely destroyed Israel, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and exiled most of the people of Israel back into Babylonia. And Daniel was one of those exiles in Babylonia. And one day, Scripture says he was thinking about what had happened, this great tragedy to his people, his country, and his own life. And he was praying before God. He prayed and fasted for 3 weeks. And he was confessing his sins, the sins of the people, and then he was begging God for mercy and to allow the people of Israel to return to their country. And he was asking God, how long would this exile last? And God sent the archangel Gabriel to give Daniel an answer. And this is the answer he gave. It's just part of it. The angel said, Daniel, know this and understand. From the time the message goes out, return and rebuild Jerusalem, to the coming of the Christ, the Prince, will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, to understand what that passage means, we need to realize that in biblical terms, a day equals a year. And so a week represents 7 years. 7 weeks represents 49 years, 7 times 7. And 62 weeks represents 7 times 62, which is 434 years. So when the prophecy, when the archangel Gabriel said to Daniel, and he said, from the time the message goes out, rebuild and return to Jerusalem, to the coming of the Christ, the anointed one, will be 7 weeks plus 62 weeks. Well, like I said, Daniel lived in 600 BC, and in 458 BC, the king, Artaxerxes, he gave the order that the Jewish people could all return back to Israel and rebuild their country and rebuild their temple. This was long after Daniel had died. And it took the Jews exactly 49 years to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem, which refers to the 7 weeks. And if you add the 62 weeks to that, 434 years, we come up to 26 AD. Now, who do you know was alive in 26 AD who claimed to be the Messiah? Well, just Jesus. And the interesting thing is that the early church historian Eusebius, he was a bishop, and he was a saint and a historian, and he lived in 283 AD. So just a couple in the first centuries. And he said in his writings that the first Christians had written that that Christ had been baptized by John the Baptist in 26 AD. So amazing. God had revealed to the prophet Daniel 600 years earlier the exact time in history when the Messiah would be born. Now, the ancient rabbis who lived before Christ, who lived in the Old Testament times, in the Talmud, when they were commenting on this passage from Daniel, they did say that Daniel was talking about the coming of the Messiah, and he was giving a timeline. To this day, Jews who study this passage from Daniel, well, some of them will say, well, our ancient prophets predicted the Messiah would come 2,000 years ago. We don't know what happened. A number of years ago, a famous Jewish rabbi converted to Christianity after studying this prophecy from Daniel. And he ended up starting the movement, which we know today as Jews for Jesus. And so Daniel chapter 9 is the most important biblical prophecy we have about the coming of the Messiah, because it took place 600 years earlier, and it predicted the exact time in history when the Messiah would come, and it turned out to be true. There's much more to that prophecy, too, that also came true, which is really interesting. But this has never been done before. I mean, think of it. Nobody ever knew that Abraham was going to be born, or Moses was going to be born. Nobody knew that Buddha or Muhammad or Gandhi or Martin Luther King, that they were going to be born. And so for God to reveal 600 years in advance the precise date of the coming of his Messiah, that must mean it's a big deal in God's eyes. That must be something very, very important and special. And as Christians, we now know that that was and is very important and special. It's the fundamental defining moment in the human history, because the Messiah is Jesus, the Son of God, God's only begotten Son. And he came into the world not as a majestic king, all-powerful and full of glory and power to overwhelm us, but he came as a little baby. Think of it, just a little baby, humble, needy, vulnerable, and he did so because he wants to invite us to allow him into our lives. Just like parents will allow a baby, a newborn infant, into their lives and hearts, God wants us to invite him into our hearts and lives as well. And Jesus promised that those who do so, that those who open their hearts to him, those who make room in their lives for him, that want to come to know him and do his will in their lives, that he will wipe away all their sins, forgive their sins, that he will be with them to help them then become the best version of themselves that they can be, and he will lead them to eternal life. Now, what an offer. There's no better offer in the world than this. The offer, though, does have an expiry date because it expires at the moment of death. It's an offer that if we want to enjoy and have for ourselves, we need to accept now in this life before we die. And so here at Holy Family Parish, that's exactly what we're trying to do, and that's exactly what we're all about. It's the reason the church exists, is to help you, your loved ones, and everyone who comes to us to have this friendship with Christ, to open their hearts and lives to him, to learn how he's guiding them to become the best version of themselves and to lead them to eternal life in heaven. And we're all in this together. The parish is not a corporation or a business. It's meant to be a family where we care for and support and help one another achieve these blessings in our lives. And so to help us with that, we've developed many sort of programs and activities in the parish. So if you're someone who's maybe uncertain about God and not sure where you stand in your relationship with him, then the Alpha video series would be perfect for you because it gives a gentle reintroduction into the Christianity and the meaning of life as for Christians. If you do believe in God, but you're not sure what the Catholic Church teaches, our CIA program may be just for you because it talks about the specific teachings of the Catholic Church, what we believe and why. If you are Catholic, but you're finding life kind of a tough go and you're looking for support from others, we have many small faith-sharing groups where people will get together, meet once a week or once every 2 weeks, share their views on the scriptures for that Sunday, share their lives, support one another, pray for one another. So there's groups for men, for women, for couples, for new moms, even a walking group. And if you're a man and you're struggling with certain weaknesses or failings that you feel are holding you back from becoming the best dad, the best spouse that you can be, Exodus 90 would be for you. And if you feel that if you've already experienced God's love in your life and you've opened your hearts to him and you feel inspired by God to want to give back to the community, then the network program is very good because it helps us to identify what are our spiritual gifts that God has given us and where we can use them to the best of our ability. And, of course, there's also other groups such as the youth group, Knights of Columbus, CWL, St. Vincent de Paul, and many other groups in the parish where you can get involved with in meaningful service and have support and fellowship. So this is very important because the 2,000-year experience of the church is that faith, if we want it to grow, it has to be shared. In the process of sharing it with others, it grows stronger in our own hearts. And so I warmly invite you to consider, if you're not yet an active, involved member of the parish, to consider to do that for this coming year. It will, I believe, greatly enrich your lives and be a blessing to you. And this would really be the best way we could celebrate Christmas, to really open our hearts to this newborn infant Christ, allow him into our lives and hearts, allow him to make us into the best version we can be, and to really share and our faith and give back to the community, because in the process we become enriched and grow stronger as well. This would be a great way to celebrate Christmas, and it would be a great New Year's resolution as well.